Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. So, what do we have today?
We have a new flavor of La Colombe Coffee Draft Latte, and it is hazelnut.
Hazelnut. Seasonal batch.
Mm-hmm. And let's try this. We haven't had this one before.
That was a face.
How do you feel about it?
How do you feel about it? You go first.
It tastes better to me.
Do you like it or do you not like it?
I don't really like it.
So I'm guessing I'm the one drinking this one then.
If you really don't like it, then I'll drink it.
No, I'll drink it. That's fine. So,
how do you feel about it?
It's not great.
No. Still the caramel. Reigns supreme.
Yeah, the caramel flavor is the supreme flavor.
I feel like this would be okay if it was sweeter, but it's almost more like a black coffee taste to me. Like, yeah. It does not have any sweetness.
It's like they put, like, a hint of hazelnut in it.
Mm.
It doesn't taste like a flavor shot. It tastes like there's a hint of hazelnut there, but you can taste whatever powder they put in there. Like, it tastes powdery to me. I don't know why.
Hmm. As always, we are not sponsored.
I'm gonna give you your monster.
Thank you. Are you sure?
Yeah, you're going to drink your monster.
Today's Norse week, and we're going to be talking about the mare.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, you've been talking about it, but, like, I don't know too much about it. She's talked a little bit about it with me, but not to the extent that she probably has written down. Just FYI, everybody, hers is going to be longer than mine.
All right, so the mare we are talking about is in regards to nightmare. And the other names that it goes by are Mara, Not Mara, and Night Hag, among others.
It goes by the name of Mara as well?
Yeah.
Okay, please continue. I just wanted to make sure that was clarified.
It might be Mara, but
still.
Everything I was researching was reading this time. I didn't find any, like, YouTube videos or podcasts or anything that gave me the idea to do it. So I haven't heard the word.
Oh.
I'm assuming it's mare because of nightmare.
Mm.
But Mara is what I'm hearing in my head when I read it. So the original plan was that whoever didn't like the Colombe coffee was going to drink their own energy drink and then someone would drink the Colombe. But Eliza was going to drink the Colombe because she was trying to spare me and has decided that it is awful, so she's gonna drink her key lime pie bang. All right, so contrary to our first thought that it's a female horse, because that's what we know a mare as, it actually comes from a different set of word origins than mare the horse. So the creature is also not shaped like a horse, even though it can be in multiple different shapes depending on the lore. Horse is not any of the shapes. Though there is this lore about horses, but it's not that the mare itself is a horse. We'll get there.
Okay.
Now, the word mare in this sense comes through Middle English, back to Old English, back to Proto-Germanic. And many different languages pull a version of this word from there. But scholars disagree a bit about what it exactly means and where it all began. So there's a Proto-Indo-European word, mare, M-E-R, that means crushing or pressing. And that seems to be, like, most of the people agree with that. That makes sense once we get more into this. The other option is from a Greek word that means doom, and they think that because you kind of have a general feeling of doom when you have nightmares.
I only am thinking of the doom song from Invader Zim.
Doom, 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 doom. Shout out to my eldest sister who absolutely loves them.
I was obsessed with Grr in high school. Obsessed. In fact, I had a Grr pillowcase for the longest time.
Really long time.
From Sandy.
Mm-hmm. So they also can't pin down exactly when this word came into being. Now, this is going to be kind of a mixed episode because while it does exist in Norse mythology, it also has lore from other countries and areas nearby. So we're going to touch on those variations too.
And before we get into that, I just want to note that Leah was not super sure about bringing the other stuff in, and I was like, well, it's kind of like that rabbit hole you go into sometimes. And I want to listen and learn about it, so I'm sure there's other listeners that want to listen and learn about it.
Yeah, so this is kind of like North and Northern Europe is where this is going to have most of the information from.
Cool beans.
All right. So without further ado, the mare. The mare or Mara in Norse mythology is described in part 16 of the Ynglinga saga. The saga is known as the King's Saga, and it starts with a description of the world, and then it talks about certain gods like Odin, Frey, Freya, and Njord. After that, every chunk talks about a specific king, and then the next chunk will talk about his descendants all the way down through the king lineage. Just like you thought we had the Prosetta.
Okay.
I thought we had the Ynglinga saga.
Oh, good lord.
And we don't.
We don't.
So
we're still expanding on our Norse texts, but let me tell you though, that isn't that like the most we have right now as far as like physical copies of books is of Norse.
Right. Of the four that we do, Norse definitely has the most books. And I thought we had it, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna read it straight from that book. And I go and look at the bookshelf and I'm like, it's nope. Not there.
Same deal for my topic this week, but we'll get into that later.
That's fine. So, I had to pull it from sacredtext.com again. That's a really good website. So, obviously, this is an English translation, and it was originally in a completely different language. But this is part 16. And it's of Vinlandi Sveggdi's son. Vinlandi Sveggdi's son succeeded his father and ruled over the Upsal domain. He was a great warrior and went far around in different lands. Once he took up his winter abode in Finland with Snæ the Old and got his daughter Driva in marriage. But in spring, he set out, leaving Driva behind. And although he had promised to return within 3 years, he did not come back for 10.
Whoa! That is a significant difference of time.
Yeah. Well, technically he didn't come back at all, but anyway.
I would have thought he was dead.
Oh, he will be.
Oh! Just slide that information right there. Okay, please keep going.
So then Driva sent a message to the witch Huld and sent Visber, her son, by Vinlandi to Sweden. Driva bribed the witch wife Huld either that she should bewitch Vinlandi to return to Finland or kill him. When this witch work was going on, Vinlandi was at Upsal, and a great desire came over him to go to Finland, but his friends and counselors advised him against it, and said the witchcraft of the Finn people showed itself in this desire of his to go there. He then became very drowsy and laid himself down to sleep, but when he had slept but a little while, he cried out, saying that the Mara was treading upon him. His men hastened to him to help him, but when they took hold of his head, she trod on his legs, and when they laid hold on his legs, she pressed upon his head, and it was his death.
Oh!
The Swedes took his body and burnt it at the river called Skaita, where a standing stone was raised over him. Thus says Thjodolf, and Vinlandi, in a fatal hour, was dragged by Grimhild's daughter's power, the witch wife's, to the dwelling place where men meet Odin face to face, trampled to death to Skaita's shore, the corpse his faithful followers bore, and there they burnt with heavy hearts, the good chief killed by witchcraft's arts.
It's very poetic.
Yeah, I was like, hell of a eulogy there, Thjodolf.
Yeah.
So, what is the mare? Well, what is a mare is a better question. It's an evil entity that's pressing or riding on someone's chest while they're asleep. This is where the phrase hag-ridden comes from. That someone is almost always a man, the victim,
sorry,
is almost always a man. With female victims very few and far between in lore. Now, whether that's because we've lost so much lore related to women or because it just wasn't talked about by women, it's hard to say. A mare can cause a sleeping man to thrash, scream, and incur injuries, and if it's bad enough, it can even cause death. Some describe it as a cat or other furred creature, as can be seen in the painting The Nightmare.
I've seen that.
By Henry Fuseli. Others describe it as a woman, either young, like a seductress, or old, like a hag. Descriptions, including having long body parts, such as long fingers, arms, nails, or breasts. Some describe breasts long enough that they could be wrapped around a horse's neck.
That just makes me think of my sister and I each had our own nightmare figures when we were children.
Mm-hmm.
And hers had long either fingers or fingernails. But it was a short being.
Oh.
Yeah, the way she described it was fucking creepy. But that's what that made me think of.
What was your nightmare being?
It was like this tall man with a burnt face. Like his full face was burnt. And he had a black leather hat. And he wore a black trench coat and black leather pants and boots. Hmm. And he had claws. But by the time I was, like, age 12, it wasn't that so much of me being chased down by him. It was more like I was fighting back. Mm-hmm. So eventually, like, I overcame it. But every once in a while, he would just show up in my dreams again.
Not cute.
No, but not nearly as scary as, in my mind, it's not nearly as scary as Cats was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So some say that this is a projection of one's soul sent out to terrorize people, whether intentional or not, because some Mara don't realize that they are one. Or there's a version where the body is turned into a smoke form and it goes to cause trouble. When it's a spirit, it can get into any room as long as there's a small hole, like a keyhole or like the space between a door and a frame or the door and the floor. Once it's in the room, it needs to use clothes or shoes to gain access to the bed, which leads to the superstition that if you turn your shoe toes away from the bed, it couldn't get you because your shoes were pointing the wrong way for its entrance. And there was also flipping clothes inside out as a protective measure.
Mm, that sounds familiar.
It made me think of how over here on the East Coast, if you wanted it to snow when you were a kid so you could have a snow day, you'd turn your pajamas inside out and backwards and you put a spoon under the pillow to make it snow.
Yeah, we didn't have that in California.
I'm not surprised.
That was not a thing.
So, some say that it's just a curse that causes this feeling. In the story I just read you, it was a curse laid upon the king for not returning to his wife. It's unclear by the translation if the men trying to save the king could actually see the mare as it moved from place to place on his body, or if it was invisible and the storyteller was just saying where it went before it finally killed him. But the Mara does not just visit men. In Sweden, the Mara can also visit horses. If you found your horse exhausted, covered in sweat, and out of breath in the morning, it was said a Mara rode him all night.
Ugh.
If your horse had knots in its mane, they were called martover, or mare tangles, and they were almost impossible to brush out.
Mm.
Which made me think of the elf locks.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a tree with particularly tangled branches, that is also said to have been ridden by a mare and called markvast or haxvast, which means mare broom or witch broom. And in some stories, that tangle of branches is her home.
Mm.
There were multiple ways that the Mara came into being. Some people were cursed by a witch to turn into a Mara without their knowledge. Others became Mara because their mothers used evil magic while giving birth to them. If a woman decided to use these magics to minimize labor pains, she would crawl through the amniotic sac of a foal.
What the fuck?
This would ease the pain of her delivery, but curse the child.
Oh!
If it were a girl, she would become a Mara. If it were a boy, he would become a varulv.
What the fuck is that?
A werewolf.
What?
If the woman crawled through a harness instead of the amniotic sac, it would still curse them, but it would allow the Mara to ride horses as well. Another cause of a Mara forming is an unbaptized baby being jumped over by a cat, which reminded me of that story you told where the cats weren't allowed near the dead body.
Mm.
Wasn't that because it would steal the soul before it got to the afterlife?
Yeah, I believe that was the Celtic.
Mm-hmm. So besides the nightmares themselves and the tangled hair, another symptom of being touched by a Mara is a rash around the mouth. And the word was Marcus, and it was used to mean cold sores.
This is not to be confused with everyone's acne coming from wearing masks all the time because of a pandemic. Right. Disclosure. I'm like thinking of how you just described it, and I was like, wait a second.
No, not acne, cold sores.
Yeah.
So, a Mara could be injured, killed, trapped, or deflected. If you hung a scythe on the wall, the Mara would end up dead. This would backfire on people who were the Mara unknowingly.
Oh, damn.
So if you were a farmer and you kept seeing your horse was mare ridden, and then you're like, well, I'm going to put a stop to this, and you hung a scythe up, sometimes you were the one that ended up dead because you didn't realize you were a Mara. Or sometimes, like, your spouse would end up dead or a neighbor would end up dead and they didn't know they were one.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm. She could be deflected by putting the victim's hair somewhere else, causing her to go to the hair instead of the victim because she would want to knot the hair. She'd feel compelled to go mat the hair up. Or you could drop many small items like a bag of seeds and she would feel compelled to count them until morning, kind of like in some of the vampire lore.
Mm-hmm.
She could be trapped if the holes she used to enter the room were closed behind her. If a Mara was injured, then the human behind the Mara would also be injured in the same way.
Okay.
And if a Mara was killed in Mara form, then the human belonging to her would also die the same way. So, like, if you set a Mara on fire, then the body
would be burnt.
Would be burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging part of the tree that has the tangled branches would lure her to it, at which point you could catch her. If you told a human that they were a Mara while they were in human form, it could stop them from changing again. But if you told them before they were 100% human, they could lose the part of the body that hadn't resolved into human form yet. But they would be alive and they wouldn't change anymore. So like if there's one version where the body actually turns into smoke and they go off and do their mischief. So if you know who it is and you're waiting at their bed to say, you're a Mara, and their body's resolving into human form, and say it's starting from the head down, the person's full body down to the knees, and you say, you're a Mara. As soon as they hear that, they lose their legs.
Who the fuck does that? Well, I'm sorry.
I'm just telling you, like, it's not necessarily in that order, but that's how it would happen. Like, they would not be fully formed, and they would lose the part of the body that wasn't fully formed.
Okay.
Do you remember?
I hear what you're saying. It's just like, I'm just picturing a person sitting next to a person's bed, watching them turn into a Mara, and then waiting until they're becoming a human again. To finally be like, oh, I'm going to wake this bitch up and tell them they're a Mara when they're not fully human again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of fucked up when you think about it.
So they would be fully human. They wouldn't turn into a Mara anymore. But if they hadn't been 100% human when you told them, they would be missing body parts.
Okay.
Some of the ways that I saw her described made me think of a succubus.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of this made me wonder if there was like an embodiment of good dreams somewhere, because mm-hmm. she's like the embodiment of bad dreams. I wasn't having any luck finding
that.
The closest thing I could think of based on what we've already talked about was kind of the baku from mm-hmm. Japanese lore that would eat bad dreams, but mm-hmm. there, like, I didn't see anything that was an actual being of good dreams. But what is it really? So the mare is likely the explanation of why people had bad dreams or why they had sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is a fucking trip if you've ever had it. I always had nightmares, and when I was a lot younger, I had night terrors. I've only had sleep paralysis once, and I'm good. I don't need that ever again in my life.
I've had it multiple times.
I'm sure you have.
Throughout my whole entire life, I've had sleep paralysis.
Yeah. And I actually think my middle sister has it too, because when I was reading into it, the description of someone she used to tell me about that she saw, like, standing in the corner of a room, mm-hmm. like a dark figure, that is in a lot of people's story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the stuff on the mare lore from Norse and Northern European countries. Any thoughts, questions, or concerns? Is that super freaky to you? Not freaky at all?
There's actually a version of that in Hawaiian mythology,
mm-hmm.
from my understanding.
Okay. Do you know anything about it?
I can't remember much, except that it sounded almost exactly like that. I worked as a security guard in Oahu with a lot of local Hawaiians, and they would tell me, like, because I worked the night shift overnight, and when I worked the overnight shift, we'd talk about spooky, scary stories, because where we were working was particularly haunted.
Why? Why would you talk about scary stories in the middle of the night?
We were bored, and, like,
oh my gosh,
it was around Halloween time, so why the fuck not? It was fine. Anyway. So that was one of the things. They talked about that. They talked about the Menehune. So it was like they were telling me all the different stuff. Like, I think they call them the Night Marchers.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like that too. Like, there's the different stuff that we talked about. But one of the things I'm pretty sure was very similar to the Mara,
mm-hmm.
as you've described. So, yeah.
Pretty cool. So it's something that's kind of been all over the world in different lores.
Pretty sure. That's not just the Germanic. It's also, like, in other cultures. It's just explained in different ways.
Sweet. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And we're back. So to start off, I did not realize initially this poem or story was in the prose Edda and not the poetic Edda. And we have a few different versions of the poetic Edda, but we also have this story in things that aren't specifically just titled the prose Edda in our library of Norse mythology that we have acquired over the time of having this podcast. So the original concept was that I would read a translation from a version we have in our ever-growing collection of Norse mythology. But the versions we have here at the house, well, let's just say with some digging, I found many versions. Like, I found that there were, like, maybe 20 to 30 versions of this story.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And I have already read slash listened slash played. By played, I mean, like, they literally have a version of this in Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Right.
And so I'm kind of doing the thing I did a while back, where I'm just gonna...
Tell it. Sounds good.
Yeah. This is the story of the Builder, also known as the Architect, and depending on the version you're reading. So to start, to set everything up, Thor was off fighting Jotun during this saga of the Asgard gods. And the gods were working on ideas of how to fortify Asgard to protect it from outer forces, for example, the Jotun. Othin proposed a wall, and as they, and by they I mean the gods other than Thor, were contemplating this, a stranger appeared.
That is scary timing.
Yeah. Now, the stranger was dressed as a craftsman of some sort. In some versions, they propose he was dressed as a blacksmith, but regardless, he was accompanied by a stallion, and the stallion was known as Svadilfari. Okay? Now, the stranger approached the gods, saying he heard rumors that there is a construction of some sort of wall to protect Asgard. And the stranger was like, I can build it. The only thing he wanted, in my mind, the way he's been presented, he was making it out to be like, oh, this is like a very small fee for what he was giving as a service, was the sun, the moon, and the goddess Freya as his wife in exchange.
Only those things.
That's all he's wanting. At first, the gods were like, no.
Poor Freya. People need to leave her alone.
Loki's like, guys, you gotta understand that this is an impossible task, so we can make it even more impossible for this guy to do it. So, Loki urged the gods to accept the proposal, but to request it be done with only the help of the stallion, Svadilfari, and that the construction be completed in one, depending on the version, either one winter or one season, instead of multiple.
Mm-hmm.
They chose these terms thinking it would be an impossible task for one being and a horse to accomplish in such little time.
So since you specified that it's either the winter or a season, does a winter mean a whole year?
So here's the thing. In the area that these stories were made, from my understanding, it's like winter and summer. There's not much of a spring.
Oh, so you mean like
a longer period
season.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what, I'm pretty sure that's what they meant by it.
Okay.
The Builder agreed to these terms.
Should have been suspicious.
Just a little bit. To everyone be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Now, this horse ended up being used to carry the large stones the stranger / builder used to create this wall or fortress, depending on the version you're reading. Days passed, nights grew shorter, and summer was fast approaching. With the help of the stallion, by the last day, they were almost completed with the wall, and the gods were panicking. Like, literally, like, fuck, we're gonna lose our sun, we're gonna lose our moon, we're gonna lose Freya. Oh my god, Loki, it's all your fault. Like, they were literally like...
It usually is.
Yeah. Loki was like, don't worry, I got this. All right? Hold my beer.
Hold my mead horn.
Yeah, hold my mead horn. And as Svadilfari carried stones the last night, Loki shifted into the guise of a beautiful mare.
And we're not at all surprised.
No. Loki invited Svadilfari to go have some fun outside of Svadilfari's work. The mare and the stallion end up going off to a meadow, and the builder tries beckoning Svadilfari. But the stallion does not come.
Well, doesn't come back to the builder.
Not to the builder, anyway. The dunch.
model bar, he was busy.
He did not have time for the builder.
He did not have time for the builder. He was too busy getting that mare on, if you know what I'm saying.
I love how that was his solution. It wasn't like lure the stallion and trap it.
Or hurt its leg or something. No.
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 Yeah.
No. You're gonna have sex. It's great. So, when the builder realized what had happened, he went to the gods furious, revealing his true nature as a Jotun himself. Claiming deceit, and with that the builder charged at the gods. In some versions, he was like, I want all the things I was supposed to get for finishing this wall. This wall would have been finished if you just let me finish it. And the gods were like, if we knew you were a Jotun, we wouldn't have let you even fucking touch our wall.
Right.
You wouldn't have even been doing any of this.
Granted, it was also super sketchy going into it because their whole thing was, because they trusted Loki.
Yeah.
They were like,
that was the first mistake.
It was one of many mistakes in this story. He was like, it's fine. Because he'll get it mostly finished, but he won't get it finished, and then we can finish the wall. So, like, they were going in it with the intention of deceit.
Right. So, of course, the builder was furious, and he was upset. What he does is he changes from this meek little stranger into this giant motherfucking Jotun that's about to pounce some bitches. And what do you know, as soon as he's starting to go at the gods, Thor shows up.
Beautiful timing.
Yeah, he just so happened to be back.
You know how Thor feels about Jotun.
Yeah, so what this Jotun had failed to realize was that Thor was back, and more willing than ever to smash into a Jotun with the help of Mjolnir, his trusty hammer. And with that, Thor took out the Jotun. But where was Loki? He was pregnant.
I already knew this story.
But the way I just said it was just like, where was Loki this whole time? He was pregnant, having a baby.
Yeah.
Yep. That was what was happening, and that's how we get eight-legged fowl Sleipnir, who ends up eventually becoming Othin's favorite mount.
Yep.
Because what ends up happening is Loki presents Sleipnir to Othin, and Othin's like, yeah, cool, awesome. Some versions say that the gods finished the rest of this wall to fortify Asgard. Others do not mention what happened with the remaining of the wall.
Right.
But that's essentially the story. There are so many versions that I have read. I've listened to the audiobooks and versions of that, but I read to you the Neil Gaiman version. And I was like, this seems a little
Kid appropriate.
Wait a second.
This book is not quite up to par with the level of normal Norse stories.
There's a lot more explicit things that happen in these things we are reading than originally gets portrayed in other versions meant for children.
Yeah, but if you are trying to get your children, like, you want to tell them the stories in a children-appropriate way, it's a good book.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman. It's a very good starting place. I really I appreciate the creativity he put into those perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Cool story.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's how we got Sleipnir.
Yeah. Pretty sure you may have touched it when we went over Sleipnir.
Very briefly, but not like the actual story.
Not the actual story, I don't think, because we were talking about all sorts of things when we covered Sleipnir a little bit.
Yeah, we were talking about Winter Nights.
Winter Nights, and I specifically listened to that episode to make sure we hadn't covered this story, because I was worried I was going to overlap with it.
Right.
But I wanted to wait to go over it until we had gone over some of the different gods first.
Right, so you knew who was in the story.
Yeah, so you had an idea of, like, who was who. I mean, I know we haven't covered Othin himself, specifically, or Loki having his own... I don't think we've done him having his own complete episode.
No, but almost all of them talk about
but
him.
But almost... He's in so many. You're just kind of like, oh, there he is again. And crazy enough, I was, like, looking into... I can't even remember what I was looking into. But I ended up, like, down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And
happens a lot.
So I ended up in... Oh, I was looking for what version of the prose Edda is like the best translation that people would recommend. And I ended up on a subreddit. And that subreddit was like, oh, and this is like recognized by the Troth. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And it's apparently this like group of people that follow the religion of pre-Christian, like Germanic religion. Does that make sense?
Of, like, Norse heathenry?
Yes, like, of Norse heathenry. But, like, it's, I thought it was pretty cool. But I'm looking at it, I was like, how have I not heard of this before? And I look at the fact, like, the frequently asked question, and it's like, there's over 500 of us across the world. I was like, that is a very small amount of people that follow this. But I appreciate the mission statement that they're, like, all about not being discriminatory.
They're inclusive.
They're very inclusive. Like, it doesn't matter what your background is, if you're interested. They're very open. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. And I just found it today.
Mm-hmm. They can do marriages.
Right. And then they have, like, a whole thing with that, which I thought was pretty cool. But anyway, so.
Bunny hole.
That was a little rabbit hole. It's getting warmer over here. I hope wherever everybody else is at that they're staying safe and taking care of themselves. Anybody new listening in, thank you for listening. I am sorry to all of our regular listeners that the most recent episode did not come out on Saturday morning. Yeah, it's not up yet.
I was just trusting you did it.
I'm going to have to do it tomorrow morning because I was waiting to draw the Minotaur.
Okay. Because you wanted to use it as the picture.
I wanted to use it as the picture. That's the only reason. And, like, I wanted to do it last night, but I was just so done emotionally and physically that I was like, I just want to play some Elder Scrolls Online.
Well, I guess I better paint it then.
If you haven't already noticed, Leah's been posting on TikTok. Slowly but surely. Like, I'm finding the music to go with each thing, but Leah's been the one posting it.
Unless I get ahead of her and then I make dubious music choices. I am not the music person here.
Oh, it was hilarious. If you guys watched the one about, was it the kitsune?
Yeah.
She used What Does the Fox Say? And I just thought it was absolutely fun. And that was like one of our most viewed TikToks on Coffee Table Mythos TikTok.
So reminders, everybody, make sure to check out our art for this week's entities on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own of these beings, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of a name or a handle, or if you'd like to remain anonymous. You can also find us on our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, where you can message us as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more beings and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffeetablemythos. Or you can become a patron through patreon.com/coffeetablemythos. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.